Hi, welcome to the Storyworth podcast. We're glad you're here. I'm your host, Krista Baum, co-founder of Storyworth. On this podcast, we featured true stories written by Storyworth writers. If you're new to Storyworth, we help people write their life stories, the big stories and the small ones. Once a week, we send our writers a question to help inspire their writing. They reply to the email with an answer or story that comes to mind. At the end of the year, we print what they've written into a beautiful keepsake book. Every story written using Storyworth is private, but for this podcast, the writers volunteered to share their stories publicly with you. And today, I'm joined by Mike Carvalho, who had a career in state and federal law enforcement. And like many police officers, he has a lot of wild stories on the job. But his favorite story isn't about a criminal. As you'll see when he answers the question, Michael, what's your go-to story?
It was October 31st, 1978, Halloween night, and I was working the graveyard shift. After our shift meeting, we went out in the field, and surprisingly, it was a quiet night, possibly due to the fact that it was the very first cold night of the year. On or about 2:30 a.m., my partner and I went to get something to eat. We went to our favorite restaurant that was open 24 hours. It was called the Hamburger Hut, located on Alameda Street. We had our midnight lunch, we paid our bill, we exited the restaurant and got into a patrol vehicle, and then we headed back to our area operations. North of Alameda Street was Evergreen Cemetery. It was one of the oldest cemeteries in El Paso. My great-grandfather, great-grandmother, my grandfather's brother, and my grandfather's sister are all buried in the family plot at Evergreen Cemetery. I was driving eastbound on Alameda Street when all of a sudden, a girl about 17 to 18 years of age, wearing an orange prom dress, caught my attention. She looked my way, and we made eye contact. I immediately looked at my partner and asked him if he saw the girl, and he replied, yes. We assumed maybe her car broke down or was left stranded after an argument with her boyfriend. We maintained eye contact until I turned my patrol car and proceeded westbound on Alameda Street. As we were approaching her, she levitated about 12 inches off the ground and walked through a chain-link fence and then faded into the cemetery. Me and my partner just looked at each other and said, wow, did you just see what happened? He replied to me, I was a Marine in Vietnam for a year. I saw combat, saw many things while in the military, but I had never seen anything like what we just witnessed. Let's get the H out of here. That morning, we finished our shift, gassed up our vehicle, and proceeded to turn in our daily paperwork to our sergeant. I informed my sergeant what had happened at Evergreen Cemetery. Sergeant Hagen replied, oh yeah, Mike, that cemetery is very haunted. We would get calls that there were mariachi bands singing in the middle of the cemetery. We went, investigated, and never found any mariachis engaged in singing. You'll see more ghosts there as time goes on. I replied, well, thank you, Sergeant. Very informative. There's another paranormal story that happened to me while I was a patrol officer with the El Paso Police Department. This one happened around the fall of 1980. I was working the midnight shift, and me and my partner got a prowler call. This was in the Sunset Heights area of El Paso, which is close to the University of Texas at El Paso. In the 1940s and 50s, that area of El Paso was a wealthy, affluent neighborhood. Most of the houses were at least two-story homes. Some even had three stories with a ballroom in the upper floor. Anyway, it was around 3:30 p.m. in the morning when we got a prowler call. Upon arrival at the residence, I knocked the door to talk to the complainant. Since it was a prowler, my partner said, I'm going to go and check the area around the house to see if there's any signs of forced entry or maybe even apprehend the prowler if he's still in the backyard. As I was talking to the complainant, it should be noted that it was a woman possibly in her late 60s. She said, well, I called him the prowler, but I don't think he was a prowler. I heard noises when I woke up. I saw my husband looking for something in the dresser drawer. Then he left and I couldn't find him. After that, I searched the house and he's not anywhere. But you should know, officer, that my husband is in a convalescent center on Murchison Street, about 10 blocks away. He said maybe he got out of the facility and walked around. And he shouldn't be walking at 3 a.m. in the morning, especially with his condition and his age. So I told the lady, I will call the Murchison Convalescent Facility and have someone check on them to make sure he's there. So I called. Somebody answered right away. I informed them of the situation. I gave him the name of the man in question. There was silence at the other end of the line, and the nurse said, that man just passed away about an hour ago. We have just called his daughter so she can inform his wife of him passing. I said, thank you very much. I informed the lady that her daughter was on the way with some news. And then she told me, my husband died, right, officer? He was just picking up something or saying goodbye. At this point, my partner knocked on the door and we let him in. And he told me there's nothing out of the ordinary. All the windows are secure, backyard secure, no footprints, everything seems to check out okay. Later, I told my partner the story, and he said, "You left me out there, alone, knowing there's a ghost running around here." I told him, "Yeah, this was a weird call. Definitely El Paso's paranormal at its best."
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you?
I am in Dallas, Oregon, which is just a little bit southwest of Salem, Oregon, the capital.
Oh, okay, cool. So you're not still in El Paso?
No, I started my law enforcement career there, but then I went federal, and that's how I moved around basically the whole southern border.
Oh, okay. Tell us a little bit about that. Are you from Texas?
I am originally born and raised in Texas, went to high school, and played football, baseball there, the typical things, you know, a young man does. And I joined the academy. Oh. I just submitted an application just for the heck of it. And September of 1976, I was sitting at the academy there, one of the youngest recruits there.
Oh, no way. Was high school in Texas very Friday Night Lights?
That was Odessa Permian. They were a very tough football team. When I was there, we never beat them.
Oh, but you played them.
I did play, yes.
Oh, no way. So you found yourself just putting your application into the academy for kicks, and you found yourself in a career.
Exactly. I was called, like I said, September of 76, and I spent 7 years with El Paso Police Department, and I earned my gold shield. I was a detective. And then, I don't know, one of my buddies seen about the Border Patrol, you know, the benefits were better, the pay was better. The working conditions were a little harder, different. Mm-hmm. But I went ahead and signed up for that one, took the test, and there I was at my second academy in August of 1983.
So how did you end up in Oregon?
Because my daughter lives here, and I came and visited her. And I go, wow, this is the best kept little secret there is. It's a very quiet town, very friendly. Cost of living's lower.
Yeah, it's beautiful there. Did your daughter give you Storyworth as a gift? How did you?
Yes, she did. She gave it to me as a gift because she says, you know, the stories you have. She goes, you know, you got to let the kids know, you know, your grandkids know about it.
Of course.
You know, from the time you played baseball when you were young and in industrial leagues down there in El Paso. I played in Mexico for 1 year.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was, you know, you'd go to towns in Mexico and it's in an old beat up bus. So it's a summer that I'll never forget. And it was, you know, made some good friends there. And
oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, I love stories like this. And I love them mostly because they've happened to other people. And I can still kind of sleep at night. But this is a real trip, this Halloween patrol encounter.
This was a very, very different, very unexpected.
Yeah. So you were locked eyes. You were staring at each other. So, and she saw you.
She saw me and I saw her. Just glanced and I saw a young girl in a orange prom dress, not too low cut, but, you know, conservative, but low cut for the time. Mm-hmm. And I go, she probably broke down. Maybe she had a fight with her boyfriend. And my partner says, yeah, I saw that. Let's go see if she needs help. And I will always remember that face. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, as I made my turn and went toward her, we saw her get off the ground and then just fade or levitate back into the cemetery there. And I bet you I turned white. My partner, I was in Vietnam for, you know, a year. I was a Marine sergeant. I've seen a lot of stuff, but just never seen anything like this. He goes, let's get out of here.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Yeah. Did she have an expression? Did she look ghostly in any way?
She just looked at me like, you know, I can't explain it. You know, I looked at her and like she was sad.
Oh.
Like she was sad, you know. And that's why right away I thought, you know, her car broke down. Or her boyfriend, you know, they had an argument and he dropped her off and he took off.
Oh.
You know, why she's roaming there? To me, imagine. When I tell my granddaughters that story, they kind of get sad, you know. And
yeah.
I go, yeah, you know, hey, why is she still there, you know? Why was she there that night?
Right. Well, were you surprised at what this ghost looked like? It doesn't sound like she was like a phantom.
No. She was very, very human. You know, and after the, you know, my story was, you know, circulated amongst the officers and all that.
Yeah.
An older officer, you know, he was already a two-striper. He said, hey, you weren't that area, but you got to keep away from the Hacienda Cafe down there on Paisano Street, which is right on the Rio Grande River. Mm-hmm. He goes, there's two apparitions that come out It's a couple that was supposed to get married. They eventually never got married, you know, because the father objected. And, you know, Romeo and Juliet type story. He goes, they do make an appearance there. And they go, they're dressed in the 1800s attire.
Oh, well, contrasting the second story with the first, I actually think the second one is quite sweet. You know, was the wife rattled or confused?
No, she was very calm. She was cool as a cucumber. And that area was very common for prowlers. And she says, come on in, come on in. And then she told me, well, and she's hesitant. She goes, I don't know how to tell you this, officer, but it was my husband that was here. And I thought, well, maybe he's already passed on.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell her that. I go, well, let me call him. I go, because I don't, you know, I don't want him to be not here. Then I talked to the, I guess, a nurse there, you know, and she kind of stopped and shuddered and, oh. And then she goes, well, he just passed away. You know, I just, the hairs in my neck kind of stood up. And then I went back to her and I said, well, ma'am, your daughter's on the way. And she looked at me and goes, oh, he died already, didn't he? And I go, yes. You know, and then she gave me a hug and I hugged her. By that time, I saw headlights coming in and that was her daughter. Yeah, and it was very sad for me. You know, like I said, you think about her. What's going to happen to us, you know, while we get older and stuff, you know?
But it seemed like such a friendly thing, you know, like such a loving, I want to go home one last time, or I want to see her one last time or be near, you know, I don't know.
I worked with the Border Patrol agent in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And right before his father died, he was at home in his apartment and knock on the door. And it was his dad. And he said, yeah, I just want to say hi. And he was shocked because he was from the East Coast. And then he disappeared. So it's kind of the same thing that happened to him.
Yeah. Loved ones are close. Well, thanks for sharing this one with us. It's wild. I'm glad it's your story and not mine. Knockwood. But I do think they're fun to hear. So thanks for sharing them with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for joining us today. If you want to get started writing your own book of life stories or want to give the gift of Storyworth to a loved one, head over to storyworth.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a very special Mother's Day episode. In the meantime, if you want one of your stories to be considered for the podcast, head to storyworth.com/podcast. Storyworth is a production of Evergreen Podcasts, hosted by me, Krista Baum, and produced by Aaron Lan. Our sound engineer is Nate Corson, and we get production help from Wendy Sabroso. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time.